here. Thank you, Kat. That was really good. Really good. Good morning, everyone. My wife mentioned that we had a baptism this morning. Joey was baptized this morning. And I was very encouraged over your baptism, Joey. I thank God for your heart's choice. Thankful to God for parents that are directing you to the path of following Jesus. I was thankful for that. And this family that sits here, and then Dick Parker, who sang up front here, along with his wife, I was encouraged over what's going on in your lives, too, this morning, as I see a friendship between Bonnie and, I forget this, Lori. And so that they came to Christ, they grew, she grew, she talked with her husband, he came to Christ, and now they're guiding their child to go this way. I'm grateful to God. But it takes me back a number of years ago to see Dick up front here singing. Dick and I used to travel. We have put thousands of miles together on a van going and visiting this church, other churches up and down the Eastern Seaboard, some in the Midwest, ministering out Midwest, going to prisons, nursing homes, schools. And I remember particularly being here in Maine. Wallace Street was the pastor here at the time. And we used to have this gospel team that we used to travel in a van. We'd come into different church areas, and I'd play guitar, and we'd sing. And there was a Paulina Carr was one of them that traveled with us. Well, a number of different ones, varied ones, various different ones traveled with us. One time, Wallace had lined up for us to go to a nursing home up near Lisbon called The Lamp. And we had a gentleman out in state of Texas had given us this nice conversion van to travel in. It's a great vehicle to move around the country in. And so we all were just rejoicing and enjoying that. It was just awesome. So we went over to The Lamp and to have the ministry there. And we had a number of things that Wallace had lined up, scheduled, that we had to be at certain places at certain times. And so we went into The Lamp. And we ministered, we sang to them, and then we would go and visit, take time to visit around different ones for a few minutes just to be a personal touch to them. Well, Dick Parker talked with this one lady, and then she had to go back to her room, and we had to leave. And so, but we had, in order to make this next appointment. And so Dick got in the van, and I don't remember the exact words, but something like this. He said, "I just feel so bad because I feel like that woman was, her heart was touched and she was close to making a decision to follow Jesus. I just wish I had a little more time." And so, but we didn't have the time because we had the next event scheduled. So we get in the van, all of us load up, we put the key in, and the vehicle won't start. So we lifted the hoods and we all stared in there like we knew what we ought to be looking at. And there's one girl that Becky Bean was there. She's a good mechanic. Her father taught her well to be a mechanic and she learned well. But so we couldn't figure out what was going on with it. So Dick said, "Well, while we're trying to figure this out, I'm going to go back in and talk with this woman." So he went back into the room where this lady was, and he led her to Christ. And it was wonderful. Then he comes back out and he said, "That woman I talked with, she came to Christ." He put the key in the car and it started, and away we went on our way. Yeah, exactly. When God keeps a schedule, it may be different than what we have in mind. When he has something that he wants to do, then we're open to have it happen, regardless of the frustrations of it. What's the point if you're just moving around and shuffling a lot of stuff around, but not really doing what his bidding? And so I was encouraged, Dick, to also see your heart still involved in ministry to encourage other families. Thank you. I have something I'm going to give away today. There's a lot of fervor in the air. Two lottery tickets, okay? One of them is to the Mega Millions, and nobody won the Powerball, and nobody won last night. And one of them is to the Mega Millions, and nobody won that either. So two lottery tickets. Now, some of you may say, oh, that's sinful. You shouldn't have these even in the chapel. You shouldn't have carried them to church in your Bible of all things. Well, within these cards, these papers, is hope. Somebody buys these things, and there's a number on there. Somebody is going to eventually win both of these. It will happen. Somebody's going to do it. These are two tickets that I did purchase them. I am not typically a lottery player. I probably have bought six lottery tickets in my life. But these two tickets, they actually have the extra draw. I paid $3 a piece for them so that if you don't win the big prize and you win the smaller prize, and then depending on another thing that they draw, you might get five times the value of it. So I'm willing to give these away. One of them, oh, the drawing was for the 19th. Oh. That's gone by and it didn't win. But, ta-da! Oh, this one's for the 20th. And it didn't win. Hope. That's what I'm going to talk today about. Hope. You buy a ticket and you have the numbers. So I thought, I looked this over and I thought, okay, one time I thought, okay, I want to play, buy a ticket. What I like to do is I'd like to put my numbers down rather than let a random call for these numbers. I want to pick my own numbers. So I thought, okay, well, I'll pick my birth date, 12, 13, 1949. So 12, 13 is coming up if anybody wants to send a gift. And then my second birthday was July 21st, 1968, was Joey, when I was baptized, July 21st, 1968. So that was the other three numbers. I thought, those are good numbers. I'm going to work that out. So then I thought, okay, so if these numbers didn't work, and they also, you can go online and you can go back, which I did. One of them, you can go back to the last 10 drawings that you probably can go back further. But the other one that I still had hope in last night, I went back to 2006 to see if these numbers hit. They didn't not only hit, not hit, but only one number hit on a couple of different ones through all those years going back. And I thought, now what? Well, this is what went through my head. And I thought, well, they didn't hit, but this one still has the chance to hit. So I still held hope, do you see? A lot of people that play this for hoping that they'll become billionaires. And then you go into it, you see some people who have won these things, and then the devastation that it brings to some of their lives. So, well, I'm not here to talk about lottery ticket, but I want you to see the parallel to looking forward to something, to the hope. As long as these numbers had not been the date hadn't come for them yet, there was still hope in them. But is there anybody here that would like one of these now? There is no hope in them. You would like one of them? Now, okay, so here's the one that was for 430 millions or for 970 million. Which one would you like? I'll give them both to you. How about that? Well, Well, you know, hope. We all hope in certain things in our life. We all do. There was one time when a man came walking up to a seashore, and there were men that were working with their nets. And he said this to them, "If you come follow me, I will make you fishers of men." Their job was a job where they had nets, they'd go out, they'd get fish, they'd sell it, that was their livelihood. And this man looked at them and said, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And it says this about them, "And they left off their nets and followed him." They left their livelihood to follow Jesus. These men, there were 12 of them, these men, in their following Jesus, they saw some wonderful, wonderful things happen. And they saw this man raise a little child from the dead. Their parents, her parents, was hopeless. Their child had died. Jesus raised that child from the dead. Oh my goodness. Imagine yourself being one of them who left your nets to follow this individual. A blind man one day sitting alongside a gate and hearing a rush of noise going by, a group of people going by. And the blind man, who was a beggar, he said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And somebody said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." This man had hope. He called out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd quieted him down. "Shh, just leave him be." But he wouldn't be stopped. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "Stop the crowd." And he said, "Bring him to me." So they somebody went and got him, brought him over. And he said, "What is it that you want?" He said, "That I might see." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Your faith has made you whole." This man would not give up. The crowd trying to stop him, he wouldn't give up. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." These disciples, they watched that happen. My goodness. Then there came a time when there was quite a large following, not just the 12, but quite a large following of people that were gathered together. And Jesus was preaching something that was really hard to follow, really hard to understand. They couldn't figure it out. He said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." Imagine yourself, one of those in the crowd, hearing this preacher who had done wonderful, marvelous, unbelievable things. Nobody had ever seen anybody like him. And now he sits, and you're one of those that's following along in the crowd, one of his disciples, not of the 12, but one of those that chose to follow, following in the path, following Jesus. So he said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me." And it says about the crowd, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And it said, many left off following him. They walked away. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said to them, "Do you leave me also?" And dear Peter, he looked at him and said, "To who shall we go? You have the words of life eternal." In our Christian walk, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have seen marvelous, wonderful things. I told you one of them this morning when God had a plan, irregardless of our schedule. He had a schedule. You're not leaving here till that woman gets what she needs. And then the car starts. Wow. We've seen wonderful things take place in our heart. in our lives, we've also seen some very troubling things that go on in our life. I watched Dick Parker on Facebook and his children go through the loss of his wife and their mother, and we all suffered for you, Dick. Well, then Jesus was going along and with his disciples, and he said, I'm going down to Jerusalem. They're going to take me. They're going to kill me. And one of his disciples grabbed him and started to rebuke him. He lined right out to them everything that was going to happen. Now stop and think if you were one of them. And the hope, all of your hope, everything that you held as hope was placed in this man. You left your nets to follow this man. You followed him and saw wonderful, marvelous things happen. And then he says, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. He even told them, he says, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise. But it went right over their heads. They missed it. They get down to the Jerusalem area. They're gathered in a room. And they have the Last Supper. It's called typically called the Last Supper. And so they're gathered in this room. And he tells them more about what's going on. And they weren't following. They didn't understand it. One of the points that Kath brought out, some of them are even wondering who in the world is going to, which one of us is going to sit on his right hand and on his left hand. And you read down through all of those. You need, if you haven't read the Gospels, read the Gospels. Take this book and read the Gospels, all four of them. You can do it in less than a week's time. And read the book of Acts. And then keep going. You read the book of Romans. You read the book of Romans. Oh, my goodness. Read this book. It's so much encouragement to us. But these men who had all their hopes in this individual, they left that room and they went down to an olive garden and they're praying. And pretty soon in that olive garden, I've been over to Israel, been on the Mount of Olives in a similar olive garden where you look down this valley, the Kidron Valley, and it goes up to Jerusalem. And maybe Jesus saw the lit torches coming. Somebody had told them where he was. They came and took him. Peter drew a sword to stand up for him. Jesus told him, put the sword away. And then it says they fled him. They all fled. Jesus was hauled off to Jerusalem. It says concerning John, it says, but John followed not far off. He was followed at a distance. He wanted to see how this was all going to shake down. Peter followed a little further off, apparently, because he was also there when he was being in the trial. Jesus had told him, Peter, you'll deny that you even know me 3 times. No, I'll die with you. And he was willing. He was the one who drew the sword. I'll die with you. But now, when you think about their lottery ticket, was Jesus. They put all their hope and trust in this man. They had followed him. There's a little discrepancy. Some think it was 1 year. Some people think it was a 3-year ministry. It doesn't matter. But they followed him, giving up their livelihood because they had put their hope in him. He had told them they would sit on thrones. That wasn't good enough, but they wanted to know who was right next to him on the right hand left. You know, wow. If we make it to heaven. No, not if. We are. There's our hope. We are making it to heaven, you know. I don't care to have a throne. I don't. I just want to be there and see him. Walk in his neighborhood. Yeah. But their lottery ticket Follow this now. Their lottery ticket that they held and all of the promises was in this individual. All their hopes was in this individual. All the promises that he said were theirs was in this individual, and they watched what took place thereafter. John was there standing at the cross when he breathed his last breath, and Jesus looked at him and said, because Jesus' mother was there too. He said to John, "Behold your mother, and woman, behold your son." So John was to take care of her. And then it says that he died. Their lottery ticket to them was as worthless as those papers I gave you, honey. There's no hope. You know. Now, those numbers might come up, but they're not for that drawing. It's hopeless. Jesus was their lottery ticket. And now they get together in this room and they lock that door because of fear that they're also going to be sought out and killed as well. So they're hiding in this room with the door locked. Doesn't say a whole lot about what happened or what they were saying and all this stuff. But they're there for a while, and they hear a knock on the door. They hear a knock on the door, and they go and see who it is. And it's some women that come to the door, women that had followed Jesus. They open the door, and these women are so excited. "We went to the tomb, and it's empty. We went to the tomb. There was an angel there that said, 'He is not here, for he is risen.'" Peter and John, bless their hearts, they take off running. I don't know what was going on in their minds and stuff, but part of what happened afterwards, they remembered this as, "Didn't he tell us these things were going to happen?" They went out to the tomb. They saw it as the women had said. They poked one. Peter pokes his head in the door, and he looks, and John does too, and John goes on in. Here's this napkin, the clothing that, or the wrap that had been on Jesus, folded and set aside. I think that's cool. I think that's a cool little thing that's written in Scripture, that he took that rag and folded it up after he raised from the dead, put it on. I think Jesus is pretty cool. I think he is. So they go back to the room and gather together these men. And one of these men speaks out. Doesn't know what happened, how it all shook down, all this. But he said this one thing. His lottery ticket, he knew, was dead. He knew he had put his hope in that individual, and never again would he ever be fooled like he was before. "I will not believe he is alive until I see the nail prints in his hand and the spear wound in his side. No, I'm done with this," basically is what he was saying. "I'm done with this." But what he didn't know, somebody slipped into the room, and it says the door being shut. And so this man's name was Thomas. So maybe Thomas, is, as he was making this statement, Jesus perhaps was behind him. I don't know, but somehow he didn't see him. And Jesus spoke. And he said, "Thomas." And Thomas turned to look. "Behold my hands, and behold my side." And in these precious words, he said, "My Lord and my God." "My Lord and my God." Their lottery ticket was not worthless. The promises that he made were true. The hopes that he held out to them were true. The hope of this life They saw the Christ standing before them, the raised one. He was with them, it says, off and on for about 40 days. Then he went up to heaven, and he has not returned since. People say they have had visitations, whether it's visions or things like that, to see him. I would love that, but I don't place my hope in that. I place my hope in the promises that are already given to us in his word. Our lottery ticket is sure and secure. It doesn't matter, as it says in the song that we sang, it's again, what Dick sang to us. It doesn't matter. You know, we have our hopes and our wishes and of the way we would like things to unfold. But nothing really matters. The only thing that matters is this. I have placed my hope in Christ and Christ alone. No matter what comes or doesn't come. No matter what I would wish for an easier way or for life to go better. Our hope is not in a lottery ticket. Our hope is not in having everything happen the way that we want. But what our hope is I'd like to read to you. I'd like you to follow along with me. It's in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Now here's Peter, who spoken quite a bit about this morning. He writes a letter to us. It's been preserved down through the ages for us. And this is what he says. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the elect who are sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. As we read down through here, you're going to see a Peter who is living not for a temporal hope, not for a throne on earth, not for glorification of men, not for positions of rank or authority, but you see a man who has been humbled and finally gets what God was about. We that day, we got what God was about. It wasn't about a schedule. It was God had a meeting time for that woman and a servant that was willing to be used. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. All of the hopes that you and I have are not on this earth. All the promises of what's to be ours is not to be revealed or to be something that you and I will receive here on this earth. Peter, you can see where he has shed that stuff, and he says, you have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is yours, that is preserved by God himself, to be given to you in the last days. Sixth verse. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's saying, you and I, we may or we probably will go through some difficult times. But that's not what's the focal point. The focal point is what it does to us, what it does for us. Eighth verse. Whom not having seen, ye love. I like this. I like this. When I read this over, I thought, okay, those tickets. I haven't seen it. Don't see it. Never happened. They're worthless. But here is our hope. Not having seen, whom not having seen, ye love. On whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Concerning which salvation, look at here, concerning the salvation the prophets sought and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did point unto, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them, to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto you did they minister these things, which now have been announced unto you through them that preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent forth from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. So he's saying here, prophets of old have preached and have prophesied that these things would come to pass, but they never saw the fulfillment of it. But now we have seen the fulfillment of the things that they hoped for and that even angels look into. What is this? Wherefore, now he speaks encouragement to us. Wherefore, girding up your loins, the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on him as Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojournings in fear, knowing that ye were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was manifested at the end of times for your sake, who through him are believers in God. Who through him are believers in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently. Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, begotten again means born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which liveth and abideth. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. And this is the word of good tidings, which was preached unto you. Good news preached to us. So when we came to follow Christ, I think all of us come with the idea of what it would be like, of what we, oh, now notice this, of what we will get out of this. Sometimes those things that we think that we will get out of this, you think that is going to happen here on earth. Some of those do. God blesses us. God has blessed us. God has blessed us. But it may not be to the extent that you think it would be. Some of you, have passed through deep waters, waters that I never want to come visit my door, never. Some of us bore deep waters and went through deep waters as children. And I was one of those. I never want to go through that again. And it also taught me of how I didn't want to raise my children. It was a good thing, but looking back on it, I don't like it. But what I do like is what came out of it in the end. I didn't want to live my life the way my father did. I didn't want to love my wife the way my father treated his wife. I did not want to raise my children the way I was raised. But through those deep waters that all of us have gone through at different times, one of the songs we sang this morning, I believe, was sung at Stephanie's funeral. It took me back to that time when our pastor and his family went through deep waters. But our hope, our lottery ticket is the Christ. Our hope is clinging to Jesus. Our hope is letting him work in our life, that no matter what comes into our experiences, we hold and cling to the hope in Christ. I'd like to pray a little prayer for you, and then Pastor Ron, if you'd come. Father, I thank you very much for the power of your word. I thank you for those men that followed you, and you did make them fishers of men, and they are fishing even today. Peter did some fishing this morning. He did fishing in my own heart as I prepared this sermon. I thank you, God, for how you have used men and women in the past to share the message, to touch hearts, and to bring people to the hope in Christ. And so as we hold that out here today, I pray that you'll help us, just as Dick has helped a family. We see Joey coming on to the baptism. Now here's going on for him to go on, and as life goes on for him to someday lead somebody to Christ, to share that story with others. God bless your people that sit here that have heard the truth spoken this morning in love. Help us to go out and to be and to love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother.
Oh, you're welcome.
Your ministry. The fact that Christ's work is so complete that when we stand before him, we will worship. We will worship. When I stand before your throne, dressed in glory, not mine, what a joy. No more tears of hope. You will see him as he is. Amen. So stand with